remote viewing, venturing directly into the field. If we actually do use the source field to think, at least to some degree, then why couldn't we venture directly out into it, rather than having our awareness trapped within our own bodies? Harold Sherman, the author of How to Make ESP Work for You, was one of the early test subjects brought in by the military and its contractors to develop the science of remote viewing, which theoretically allows us to access any point in the source field. Their results suggest that everything in the universe is ultimately one mind, as the consciousness of the viewer can project into any remote location and experience it as a part of his own awareness. In my opinion, some of the best books on remote viewing are David Morehouse's Psychic Warrior, and you may want to get the first edition from 1996, and the works of Joe McMonagle. A good remote viewer can make detailed sketches of a remote location that are almost perfect, with nothing more than random numbers called coordinates that were assigned to the target. The person acting as their guide also does not know what these coordinates correspond to either. Joe McMonagle has located three different missing persons in sessions filmed for Japanese television, leading the crews right to the door of where these people were while he sat at his home in Virginia. The cameras then filmed their tearful reunions. Jan and Dunn trained 48 ordinary people in an early type of remote viewing, where one person would visit a randomly chosen location from 5 to 6,000 miles away, and the viewer would attempt to gain information about what that person was seeing. In 336 rigorous trials, almost two-thirds of the viewer's observations appeared to be significantly accurate, at odds of a billion to one against chance. When the sender and receiver were bonded emotionally or by familial relationship, their results improved dramatically. A distinguished government panel of skeptical scientists and two Nobel laureates studied 23 years of experimental data in remote viewing and concluded the research was flawless. Another team, headed by noted skeptic Dr. Ray Hyman, concluded the results were much too strong to be written off as random chance or coincidence. Screened rooms were used to prove electromagnetic waves could not be responsible for transferring the information to the viewer's conscious mind. Remote viewers also were able to see events that had not yet happened in linear time, even when those events were chosen at random, after they had already been correctly viewed in a secure location. This suggests the mind is not confined to linear time at all in the greater sense. And we will have much more to say about this in part two. Do we create measurable energetic traces when we go out and remote view a particular area? In 1980, doctors Carlos Osis and Donna McCormick performed a remarkable experiment to see if they could find out. A gifted psychic named Alex Tanous was asked to remote view a specific target. Several different scattered pieces were used to form an image, but only when they were viewed from one location. Tanous had no idea what the target looked like, and it was changed at various times. In the exact location where the pieces all lined up, Osis and McCormick hung two metallic plates side by side on strain gauges, which can detect very subtle movements. When Tanous was describing the target accurately, the plates jiggled around much more than usual. Their greatest movement occurred immediately after Tanous began viewing the image. There was no obvious visible light in the area as Tanous did the viewing, only the slight but measurable movement of the plates. 2 years later, the People's Republic of China expanded this investigation even further. The Chinese scientists asked remote viewers with exceptional vision to view complex characters from their own alphabet as targets. These characters were placed in a room where no visible light could possibly enter. Very sensitive light-detecting devices were also positioned inside the room. During the times the viewers properly described the target, the number of photons in the room surged tremendously from 100 to 1,000 times above the normal background levels of virtual photons. This could amount to as many as 15,000 individual photons that were released during any one event. A group of American scientists, led by Dr. G. Scott Hubbard, attempted to replicate this experiment in 1986. They used a very high-quality photomultiplier tube for sensing light and a 35-millimeter slide of a scene as the target. Their results were excellent. During the times the viewers correctly described the target, pulses of photons consistently appeared at a level much higher than random chance. However, their strongest pulses were only 20 to 40 times larger than the background noise level, unlike the Chinese results of 100 to 1,000 times above normal. This may be because the participants in the Chinese experiments were found by an open, systematic, nationwide sweep for the most talented intuitives.